The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Blue Jay fan Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere, and we mean anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email right now in studio101@gmail.com. And now your host, looking blue and white, Joanne Shaw.
Hi there, Gary, and welcome everyone to welcome to Down the Garden Path, here where we're an hour away from the Jays game, an hour and 7 minutes or so.
And Shaw's up the plate right now. She's 3-1 right now.
So welcome to Down the Garden Path, where every week we talk about down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, garden, and landscapes. And as a landscape designer, I'm always willing and eager to talk about design and the importance on keeping your garden as low maintenance as possible with a good design. So that's always a hot topic for me. But I think October means almost more to talk about in the garden, almost as much as spring. There's so much to do and so many questions from our listeners and from clients. So I'm looking forward to having our guest back that visited a few weeks ago. Matt Dressing is joining us, a horticultural technician. Matt is a graduate of Niagara College with landscape technician diploma and a horticultural technician diploma. He has a landscape industry certified. He is a landscape certified retail horticulturalist with a designation with the CNLA. And he is an active member of certification committee, both provincially and nationally. In addition to working in the industry over the past 16 years, working in lawn maintenance, garden maintenance at Cullen Gardens, landscape construction, and most recently 9 years in various garden centers, helping others with their gardens, he's joining me. Welcome to the show, Matt, today to just answer your questions and help me talk to you about all the things you should be doing and not doing in your garden this October. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Joanne. Thank you.
So lots of things to cover. Don't you agree? Like October can kind of be almost as busy as spring.
Almost as busy easily. Yeah. Yeah. Lots to do.
Lots to do and not to do.
And not to do. Yeah. There's some definite don'ts.
For sure. Because I find you can't correct those, right?
Right.
In the spring, they're like, why isn't that blooming? Yeah. Well, you can't do anything about that to help you, right? Right. So I've gone and got some things, just general garden yard work type of things. What do you say is the most important thing?
One of the most important things I think is the sanitation of the garden, making sure all the diseased or infested leaves are all cleaned up and taken care of. Dead plants, dead fruit, things like that. Mm-hmm. That's where your insects, pests, and diseases are all going to overwinter and then reinfest your garden later.
I never thought about that. Fruit.
Yep.
Like your neighbor's apple tree stuff that falls, that's right. Not good.
Right.
I think of it as like good compost, no?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. It would be great compost, but it should make it to the compost pile.
Oh, okay. Not into the garden. Not just leave it on your garden.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good tip. And I think of the mildew right now this year with it being so hot and dry and humid. All the peonies were really affected.
Oh, yeah.
Ones that have, like, might have never had the mildew issue, and this year they've got them.
Yeah.
So really important to cut those down, get those out of the garden, right? Like, put them in the bags.
Right. Anything covered in diseases, molds, funguses, mildews, they should all be thrown out. Never put in the compost pile.
Okay.
They won't heat up well enough, they won't die, and they'll come back out. So you'll be spreading infected compost.
Excellent. That's not what we want to do.
No.
No. And it's better to, so when the yard, I always wondered about that too. So when the city, because the city takes it away, we assume they mulch it down or compost it down, and then they give us our free compost. So, but they can heat it up enough, right?
Yeah. Usually they heat it up. And I think it's more of the green bin compost that we get. So it's all the fruits and vegetables. And
yeah. Even better.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is good. No, I think definitely cleaning up the garden and weeds too. Don't you find that people, because it's summer's over, the weeds will die because they're going to get hit with frost. I don't need to keep weeding.
Right. Right. But some weeds are perennials.
That's right.
So you're just leaving them to sit there and perfectly do their thing and wait for next spring. The others will go to seed. Some of them will come back and go to seed.
Yeah.
They can die with a full seed head. Mm-hmm. And the lawn always grows slower than the weeds do in the spring.
Oh, that's
so,
for sure.
Right. So the weeds have a perfect growing season just to pop right up and bug you from the get-go.
Yeah. So now is a good time because the temperatures are cooler and the soil's still pretty dry. Like, you know, because the trick I find in the spring is sometimes when people are keen to get out there, it's still too wet.
Yes.
Right? So now in the fall, it's still okay to get out there and walk in your garden.
Right.
So do the weeding now that you don't have to, you won't be able to do in the spring.
Right. Yeah. Do all the weeding and the extra leaf cleanup. We tend to get out really early in the spring mm-hmm. when it's nice and wet, and walking on the wet garden or the wet lawn will compress the soil, pushing the air out. And that's actually going to damage the root zones.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave footprints behind in your lawn.
Yeah. And I find that it also compacts the soil so that all those spring rains, instead of it being absorbed into the garden, you know, we've packed it all down nice and snug, right? And the rain just runs right off our garden. So then when you go to plant something, you're like, why is it so dry?
Yeah, it's so dry, it can't absorb anything, or any seeds can't take.
Yeah, so there is method to our madness, everyone.
Just a little.
There is a little bit. There is a little bit of, you know, we did go to school for it, and both of us a little differently, but the teachers did have some things that made sense, right? And also from our own personal experiences, right?
For sure.
I mean, as much as we both went to school, we can't replace the knowledge from our own hands, our own gardens, right?
Exactly.
For sure.
Experience is definitely the best teacher.
That's right. That's right.
Nature doesn't follow a textbook.
No, that's true. And that's because the weather changes too and things have changed, right?
Yeah.
Leaves. What's your opinion as far as leaves? Oh, good. We'll get to that. We saw a question. So hit or miss. Like, I hear different things. Different people are saying now it's okay to leave. I know it's okay to put leaves on our garden. But I think some of the bigger, as long as they're disease-free, and mulch down some of those big maple leaves, right?
Right.
That's not good to, like, it takes too long for those to break down. What do you think about mulching and leaving the leaves on the grass?
If they're fine enough,
mm-hmm.
they would go.
Okay.
If they are too big again, they will get all wet and soggy, clumped together, and then they'll start to smother the grass.
Right.
So you may end up killing it, depending on
and
how fine or not fine that they are.
So should you mow over it and mulch it?
Yeah, so a nice, good, fine mulch, less than or about a centimeter at most.
Okay.
Or less than.
Okay.
You could mulch in fairly well. Yeah. But leaves are a great fertilizer, even for the lawn. The leaves are the most nutrient-dense thing you can really give to your garden.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's easier to go over your lawn a few times and mulch the leaves with your lawnmower than it is to rake and bag all the leaves, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So it's kind of a cheater's way. You're cheating, but you're also one up, right?
Exactly, you're one up. Yeah, you're throwing away. Everyone has bags full of fertilizer at their end of their yard every fall, and every spring and summer, what can I feed my garden? What's the best thing?
Then they go out and buy stuff.
Yeah, right? You go out and buy stuff. You just threw away 9 free bags.
That's right. That's right. That is so funny. That is true, though. And do you ever, I've had it happen to me where, like, especially early spring, people come in, or early fall, sorry, they come and take the leaves.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, not the city. Like, we put them out there, and then on, you know, the leaf day, it's like, wait a minute, who just took them?
Who took those? Yep. Yeah, and they're going to go and add them to their compost pile or shred them and use them as a mulch. And right now, doing that to the garden's perfect.
Okay.
They'll cool down, they'll start to break down, but then they'll be ready and nice and moist in the spring when they warm up to really get breaking down, and you'll have a nice nutrient-rich start right off in the spring.
Okay. So is there a window? Because not all leaves have dropped yet, right? It's still a little early fall. We've kind of...
Yeah.
Although I thought it was going to be early because of the drought, right? But
right.
They seem to have been holding on.
Yeah. I think they turned a little earlier.
They did.
Than I
yeah,
noticed,
I think so
for sure.
too.
And I think that's definitely the stress. You can see where the stress has
yeah.
gone. And they're preparing. But yeah, they've held on. And I think they're going to be a little longer if it stays as warm as it is.
Yeah, for sure. 27 tomorrow. I know. I don't know where you are, everyone in the but here in the GTA, it's going to be a rockin' 27. I think we're going to break a record or two.
Yep.
So do you think it's too soon to kind of do that? Well, I guess if they haven't fallen yet, they haven't fallen.
Yeah. If they haven't fallen, they haven't done anything. But the ones that have fallen, yeah, shred them up and put them down.
Yeah.
Pick those weeds. Even weeds, fresh weeds are a good compost. Pick them up, remove any seed heads, make sure there's no seeds there.
Yeah.
But you can bury your weeds underneath your mulch, and that'll be a long-term food source for those beneficial bacteria breaking everything down, that leaf mold.
Because I've seen some people who feel they have to rake the leaves so they can mow the grass, but really you don't have to.
Right. Yeah. As long as you can run the mower. I mean,
for
eventually
sure.
there's so many that you can't even do that.
But, right.
Yeah.
Right.
The other thing to benefit the leaves is remembering that a lot of beneficial insects will overwinter in them, like your ladybugs, who will attack a lot of the smaller, soft-bodied insects in your garden, like aphids. So ladybugs and other beneficial insects are going to retreat into your leaf litter, hoping to overwinter.
But won't we kill them when we mulch the...
Right.
Okay,
so,
sorry.
Yeah, so don't get rid of all of them.
Okay.
If they're
okay.
clean of disease or the powdery mildew, yeah, they're free to fall and kind of help out.
So they can go, you can even just bag or rake them into your gardens, right?
Right.
On top of the mulch, like if you've already mulched your beds, well, they're fine to kind of just lay on top of the mulch and they'll break down?
Yep.
That is good. I've done it in the past, but I did do it with maple leaves. That didn't really... Yeah, I should have mulched them up a bit, though. We kind of put them straight in. And so come spring, you know, they ended up being fine, but I did find that there were, like, along the edges, like, tucked underneath my hedge and stuff like that, my yew hedge, there was, like... you know, fully undecomposed, you know, leaves in the spring. So I think definitely it's good advice to run the mower over them, chop them up, or use different leaves. You know, sometimes you don't use necessarily that maple tree,
right?
I know a mutual friend of ours, Nancy, was saying, you know, with her small leafed trees, her willow and a couple other things, she doesn't have a problem because everything's a small leaf. We've got a lot of, I'm sure, listeners who have locust trees, right? Those are great leaves because they're so small
they are
brutal to rake.
Yeah.
So don't rake them, right?
Yep. Just leave them be. Let them cover your garden and let them do their thing.
Perfect.
One over the mower. And then, the leaves trapped in the bottom of a hedge, as long as they're clean again of pests, other diseases.
Right.
Or along the fence line. That's a perfect spot for the insects to kind of crawl in and hide and clean those up later in the spring when it's dry and safe to go out.
Later in the summer when I have time.
Yeah.
That's a problem with me. I have no time in the spring, right? Oh, my goodness. I do... think it's funny though that how we take all that nutrients and put it at the curb in November, and then in March we go and buy, March and April we go buy more, you know.
Exactly.
So and I think whether you have leaves, you could be in a newer subdivision where you don't have a lot of trees,
right?
If you do or don't have mulch in your garden, now is a good time to add mulch.
Yep.
Right. To just give that garden a better insulation for the winter, and to help you in the spring so that you can make, you know, you can probably walk on a mulch bed a little earlier than you can an unmulched mulch bed.
Right.
Don't you agree?
Yeah.
So now is also a good time. And I think that a lot of the garden centers have mulch on sale.
Yeah, some do, some don't. Yeah,
okay.
Depending on where you go. But
yeah. It's a good time to stock up and put some mulch down on your bed, on your garden bed. So the next thing, which is probably an unlikely thing, what do you think about that topic? especially after this drought we've had. So yes. People, and we've had a little bit of rain. I know even Gary was saying, oh, we had lots of rain this weekend, right? But was it enough?
Exactly.
So yeah. That's okay. That was a good time to take a drink of water.
Yeah, always be mindful of the rain. I always say never trust the rain to water anything. If you look on the weather network, you see it's like 3 millimeters. Well, imagine 3 millimeters, but most of the roots are underneath that ground. So,
right.
Yeah, make sure, only trust the rain to water, really, if you get big, long days of a nice, steady, long, penetrating rain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially after this drought. Like, today was good, but it was mainly misty. So
it was pretty misty, yeah. It was really a little disappointing.
Right.
Yeah.
So unless the water collected or ran off into something, it really didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It kind of relieved some stress, cooled some plants down.
Yeah.
But didn't really water anything.
Yeah.
Well, certainly.
So, and I think, so especially if you have newly planted trees, newly planted evergreens,
right.
Especially cedars.
Especially.
You should still be watering well into the fall, like well into the ground freezing.
Yeah, exactly. You want to make sure you're watering, especially evergreens and things like cedar, especially in a very windswept area, once a week until the ground freezes.
Right.
And I usually do that once a week, starting when the perennials and the leaves kind of yellow and fall.
Oh, okay.
And then once a good deep, deep watering.
Yeah.
You want to hit that root ball. So imagine if you planted a nice cedar, for example.
Okay.
And the root ball was 12 inches or the pot was 12 inches tall. You need to make sure that you water enough to hit the bottom of that pot.
Mm.
And that's what she's going to draw in the winter winds that are super dry.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to dry them out. She's going to use that water that you've given her once a week until the ground is frozen to fight off that drought and that dry.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Because, yeah, people tend to, you know, in addition to doing an early fall cleanup, they put those hoses away really early, right?
That's part of it. Yeah. Turn off the water and blow out the lines and put everything away. But
yeah, hold on as long as you can. I think that's really important because, you know, it's the tree's just not going to do well or survive, right?
Right.
Cedars, and anybody who does a cedar hedge, you know, you plant those 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 cedars and you're, you know, there's inevitably 2 that didn't make it, right?
Yep.
And sometimes they're the high point. Who knows? They're the ones at the end that didn't get hit with enough water.
Yeah.
But really, that's going to guarantee your success. Do you think a soaker hose helps in that situation? I mean, it's hard because it's not really a deep watering, right?
Right. If you have the right soaker hose and left it on for long enough, people think that, you know, you'll just leave it on for 20 minutes, but you need to leave it on more for like 2 hours.
Mm.
And then eventually it will, yes.
Yeah.
They do work very well at getting deep enough, but people tend not to leave them on long enough.
Right.
Yeah. And if watering is an issue and you do have soaker hoses, there's also hose timers.
Right.
So you can always time your hose to come on, the water to come on and go off at certain periods. So you can water when you're at work.
Right.
Or water in the
morning.
When
you're sleeping.
When you're sleeping, exactly. Yep.
Yes, yes. Not like me trying to set my timer on my phone and then forgetting and then watering the street and, you know, that type of thing. So, and we do have James. Thank you for your question. We are definitely going to be talking about grass when we come back. So why don't we pause now? I think we covered a lot and we've lectured you a lot on what you need to do. So thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path. And we'll be right back here on Reality Radio 101. Everyone's watching.
Are you currently looking for home, automobile, business, or life insurance and live in the Durham, Ontario region, but you are just not sure where or who to turn to? Relax. The answer is WO Insurance Brokers. WO Insurance Brokers offers personalized service with very competitive rates. We offer monthly payments as well as a claims guarantee, making your insurance needs less stressful. Policy discounts are also available too. So what are you waiting for now? Call WO Insurance Brokers at 905-436-9090. Visit our website at www.woinsurancebrokers.com for more information. Remember, when you need a caring and professional insurance brokerage, WO is for you. At WO Insurance Brokerage, we are your hometown broker. Are you currently looking for a part-time professional career, but you are just not sure what to do or where to go to make a great part-time living? Well, if you live in the Durham, Ontario region, then Durham Ways Bus Lines is the absolute professional career just for you. We offer complete comprehensive training, an excellent starting salary, and ongoing support in your choice to be a professional school, corporate, or charter transportation specialist. With flexible hours and many great benefits, Durham Ways Bus Lines is that perfect part-time career for retirees, housewives, or anyone looking to make great extra money with a professional and reputable company. Why not call us today at 905-433-1392 or visit our website at www.durhamwaybuslines.ca. At Durham Ways Bus Lines, we are the safe way. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised.
Song Gary wrote. Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another you've been messing around.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board with your questions, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, we will pay for the call. 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email. It's quick, it's easy, it's fun. In Studio 101 at gmail.com. And now, checking all the updates prior to the Toronto Blue Jays game, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone, to Down the Garden Path, where we are talking about October gardening tips. Although, Gary, who was that music? What was that lead-in music?
That was REO Speedwagon.
It was REO Speedwagon. Yeah. Yes, before Matt's time.
Yeah. Oh, really? Matt, can we ask how old you are? Wow, that's...
No,
but you know what? REO has been around since late 68, 69. They didn't get famous till like 72, 73.
Wow.
But yeah, and you probably weren't even born, huh?
Yeah.
You don't have to answer that.
Don't have to answer that.
Yeah, I was already married, out of college, everything else when they came out.
So. Yeah, no, I was like, but it amazes me that I could sing to that song from the 80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't ask me what I did yesterday. No, I have no recollection whatsoever.
And by the way, at the beginning of the show, you held up your camera. Did you want pictures taken of your jersey?
Yeah, you're going to have to take a picture of me on the air rooting for the Jays.
Okay,
So thank you, everyone, for listening and putting up with our music chatter as well. And James has been very patient, so I'm really looking forward to giving the mic to the expert on lawn care, Matt, here. So James, Yanni has a question about the best fertilizer to put down on your lawn at this time of year. Matt, you take it away.
All right. Hey, James. Yeah, so right about now we're coming up to, in our area at least, what is going to be our winter fertilizer. So we're usually fertilizing our fall, mid to late September. When you get into late October, early November, just as the lawn's ready to go to sleep, you're going to put on a winter fertilizer. What is the best fertilizer? I am very natural biased. I love the organic natural fertilizers. And I like those because the natural items feed the microorganisms in the soil. It kind of gets that microorganism, that natural cycle going. So what that's going to do is it's going to help decompose your thatch layer, any dead or diseased insects that are in there. It's going to provide a much longer feed, the organic or natural-based stuffs, whereas the fertilizers, in our area, it's Scott's, C-I-L.
The more, what would you call those?
They're
more processed
chemical-based
or process-based?
Right. They tend to feed for a shorter period of time, up to like the 1 to 3 week range. So, and then your organic ones tend to, they take a little while longer to start, dissolve, and really get the boost, but they will feed for your, you know, your 2 week on range. So you just get a longer, more stable fertilizing. As far as what type, yeah, something that says fall or winter specific. For us, it's just spring, summer, or
fall, winter,
yeah. And then you want to look at the numbers. You don't want anything high nitrogen. Your first number is your nitrogen. Your second is your phosphorus. And then your third is going to be your potassium. And you want a slightly higher potassium number in your lawn fertilizer. And what potassium does is it's basically, I always compared to our immune system. It's involved in all plant cellular functions. And what it does is it increases the resistances for the plant. So builds stronger cell walls, which is going to help it to deal with the winter stress, the wind stress, the drought stress, the heat stress, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So your fall fertilizer is really preparing your lawn to go to sleep, to take that really rough up and down kind of winter weather.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with those numbers the numbers NPK still apply to the organic fertilizers? Like they'll still have the numbers on them?
Yeah. So all fertilizers will have the numbers. The difference you'll find between the chemical or the organic based is that the chemicals tend to be much, much higher.
Okay.
So you'll see like a 10.0.18 or for the chemical. But for the organic, you'll see a much lower one, like a 4.39.
Okay. Right. So 4.39 is still okay. The 9 is okay.
Right.
Because it's going to work for a longer period of time.
Right. Right. So. It just works. It's, most organics have a much lower number, but feed just a little greater.
Okay. And you would apply them the same way in the spreader?
Same way, no difference in spreading fertilizer.
A lot of people might not be familiar with organic fertilizers.
No, not a lot of people are. Where I work, I tend to be the one to introduce them into that organic fertilizers. And a lot of people come back and really see the difference in the thickness and the hardiness of your lawn.
Oh.
Because where a chemical has spent all its fertilizer, that organic engine is still moving.
Right.
And they still see that nicer, slower, longer, sustained growth.
Okay.
So.
And it was interesting what you said about the insects, too. So the organic would feed the insects. Did you say that?
Any of the dead or dying insects or any living organic matter that tends to come into contact with the soil.
Okay.
Yeah. Those microorganisms are activated and they start to decompose on the soil level.
Okay.
They're not going to go out and attack an ant colony or,
you
know, they're not going to eat grubs alive in your lawn, but. Right.
Yes, we need to figure that one out. So piggybacking on James's question, you're welcome, James. I don't know if you have this question as well, but when do you some people are out there top dressing and overseeding, and some people are out there fertilizing, and then you've got us wanting to, shred the leaves into the lawn. So it's like there seems to be a lot to do on the lawn, and how do we time it?
Yeah. That's a very big question.
It is, yes. We have the rest. We have a long time.
How much time do we have? Okay.
So.
If we go to right about now for the fall, you want to do your fall. I always say about Labor Day is when you're going to start looking at it to mid-September type thing. You can put that down at any time.
The fertilizer?
The fertilizer.
Okay.
To note, while you're putting down the fertilizer, if you do have a chemical fertilizer, you don't want to put it on the same time you have your grass seed down. So you want to make sure your grass seed is growing, it's established, it's at least 3 inches long, the new blades, before you put it down. Because then you run the risk of the chemical coming out of the prill, the little pellet type thing, and burning seedlings. You can't that sort of thing.
Okay.
So, but the organic that I had mentioned and the seeds in the topsoil, you can do that all together at the same time.
That's a benefit.
Right. Because the microorganisms are going to break down and slowly and reduce the potency compared to a chemical versus a nice organic source.
Okay.
So when the microorganisms release the food to become available to the plant, they're not in a very harsh, damaging form. They're in a natural, easy to uptake, low stress type form.
All right. And so can you give a shout out to the chemical or the organic fertilizer for the GTA? I know we have listeners everywhere, but do you have a favorite brand name? Do you want to give a shout out to, or am I putting you on the spot?
No. You know what? The one I like the best is made by a company called Fafard.
Okay.
And they're a Canadian company out of Quebec. And they make a three-step now to become a two-step program. They're going to do the spring, fall, or spring, summer, fall, winter kind of bagging. But it's a really easy, great information on the package. Really just a really clean, easy, beginner, user-friendly way to go.
Okay, good. Because they do a lot of organic products. Don't they do the corn? Are they the corn gluten people too?
They aren't.
No?
No, I don't think. I think they do have their own.
Okay.
But, so Fafard, and they tend to cater specifically to towards garden centers. So those are the soils you're going to see in your garden centers.
Okay.
Primarily. And a lot of them are actually, including their mulch, is approved for organic culture. So they're not certified.
Right.
Because that's fairly expensive to get them certified. And they got to pass the buck. But they are all approved for organic culture.
Okay.
Which is great.
Well, that is good to know, for sure. Top dressing, should we do that? Especially with this drought, like I have a lot of thatch. I didn't aerate.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess I could ask about aerating and top dressing.
Yep, aerating right now is great. We've had a rough summer again because of the drought. But if your lawn has come back and it's nice and thick and green, right now it's perfect for aerating.
Okay.
Especially if you have the little machine that pulls out those little plugs.
Yes.
And leaves them on your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Your lawn's going to be thick enough that the seeds can't work their way back to the soil level. So they'll usually just get wind desiccated or die in the cold.
Okay.
Or even the foraging fall birds will notice. Animals are pretty smart. They kind of see what we're doing. And they'll come in and investigate the little plugs and see what's in there and dig around. And they'll usually eat seeds or they get trapped in the lawn and die.
Okay.
Yeah. So aerating right now is perfect. Same with the dethatching, pulling up all that dead stuff. You're exposing layers of trapped weed seeds when the lawn is nice and long and thick. She'll trap the seeds and bury them in that thatch and that new soil level.
Okay.
So
dethatching is a good...
So dethatching and aerating, if you haven't done it now or yet, as long as the lawn is dry, you don't want it too soft. Again, that compacting issue we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to go out and revitalize her. Usually do it every year and a half to 2 years is pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
And then top dressing. Yeah, usually you top dress your soil's bad underneath. Or you're putting down new grass seed, so the grass is knit nice and thick. So the soil just kind of insulates your seed, gives it some food, and lets it germinate. I give it a space to germinate and work in.
Okay.
If you do have big bare patches, like some of us in our area do because of the chinch bug and everything and drought through the summer, I would recommend a soil specifically for top seeding.
Oh, okay.
And just as I've mentioned, Fafard, they have a great product called Viva Lawn Repair. So V-I-V-A,
for
those who are writing it
That
down.
Makes it sound like fun.
Yes.
They're trying to put the fun back into lawn repair.
Viva La Lawn. They have a great product. I would do that as your top dressing.
Okay.
And remember, when you top dress, you only need 1/8 to 1/4 inch.
Mm.
You can go more if there's divots or low points.
Yeah.
But if you bury the seed, you can...
It's not going to work. Right. Yeah.
She'll go dormant. She doesn't have the conditions that she wants.
Okay.
Yeah. And then she will grow. We're laughing. We see Joanne. Hi, Joanne. Thanks for writing in. I don't know if I can reveal that information on air, but we could write you back and we can
let you know.
Share that information with you.
So thank you for your question, Ari, and we will email you back and let you know. Gary can do that probably for us. And it's not a big top secret, but we'll just do that. We'll just handle it that way. Since we're talking about lawns, and so if our listeners have any other questions about lawns, now's the time. Please send us your email because it is after such a hard season, a long season too, because we're still getting record temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of issues with people's lawns. I wanted to mention nematodes. So grubs is also a big issue for people. And we were talking before the show, because the time grubs, it's all grub control now that we cannot use chemicals. is all about the timing, right? Soil temperature, air temperature. So nematodes, are they, is it, do we still have a time?
We do have probably about 2 weeks left.
Okay.
The soil tends to cool down a little slower than the air does. So the nematodes that we get here are hardy to 12 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
So when the soil starts to drop much lower than that, your nematodes are going to start to weaken and suffer and eventually die. Mm-hmm. They won't overwinter. The other thing is, as the cool temperatures grow, grubs are smart. They know that they can't survive the freezing permafrost. So they tend to
go deeper, right?
Go much deeper, right? And kind of protect themselves in the cooler but not frozen soil.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then our nematodes can't chase them. So, yeah, we've got about 2 weeks left to go. That's the only real thing. And
yeah.
The now's perfect. The falls tends to be much wetter.
Yes. And we've had some good rain. I mean, okay rain.
Yeah.
And you can get out there and water, because you should water, not only water them in, but water before you put them in, correct? And right. Afterwards.
Right. Yeah. The nematodes are swimmers. So if your lawn dries out, that upper inch dries out, they're stranded in little pockets of water and the grubs might not be nearby. So they just...
That just blows me away when you think about little things swimming in your lawn, right, Gary? You've got little things swimming in your lawn right now.
I'm afraid to go out there.
Gary just had his lawn treated, so we were talking about nematodes. So that's good. And so, you know, contact your local garden center or nursery and find out if they still have them on the shelf. They do have, they do are shelf stable, so... Right. Once it's not temperature time, they're kind of shelf-stable, aren't they?
Yeah.
To a point. And then usually they're gone when it's too late to do it. You know, it's not like you keep them on the shelves, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. When it's too late. Yeah. And then always remember, watch when you buy the nematodes on the shelf. Sometimes they're not refrigerated or they're out on the shelf. Remember, they are living things too.
Okay.
When they're warmer, they're more active. If they run out of food, they may expire on a shelf.
Okay.
So, for example, nematodes that we get tend to last up to, I think they're about 5 months.
Okay.
In the package and in the fridge. But then they have a food source as well, and they're much slowly.
Right. So there is there an expiry date on the package?
There is.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's always, look for a best before.
Yeah.
Without a best before, I mean, it is a living thing again.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But yeah, so this coming weekend would probably be a good weekend. I don't know what the weather's going on. We never know this far in advance. But that would be something. If you are struggling with grubs in your garden and yard and notice, you know, squirrels, raccoons, not squirrels, but skunks and raccoons digging in your lawn, then that is a sign of nematodes, one of them.
The grubs. Yep.
Oh, right. Sorry. The nematodes are the good thing. The grubs are the bad thing. For needing some nematodes. So that's something for sure to look into. So anything else? Oh, I do want to say it's still a little early for our last cut of the year, for sure, for our lawn.
Yeah.
But I always said cut high, but it's cutting high during the summer, but the last one should be shorter.
Right, right.
Because I've made that mistake.
Yeah. And the cut low in the fall, winter cut, your last cut, really just helps remove like snow mold or any other diseases from growing under the snow.
Yeah.
And going from fall into winter and into spring, that cool weather, all the grasses we grow in our lawn are cool weather grasses. So this cool, wet, rainy, you know, that this time of year really drives their growth. So they're going to go to sleep and come out in a vigorous kind of growth period. So
excellent.
Cutting it a little short is good.
Okay. So unless we get some more questions about lawn, I thought maybe we'll move on to gardens. But why don't we start? Why don't we take another break before we get to that? So we will be right back here on Reality Radio 101.
You're listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.
Broadcast has been sponsored by Tree Campus USA, a program of the Arbor Day Foundation. Tree Campus USA honors college campuses and their leaders for promoting healthy urban forest management and also for getting the community involved in environmental stewardship. Last year, 254 colleges and universities in the United States were recognized with Tree Campus USA distinction. All of them had to meet five standards, including having a tree advisory committee, having a tree care plan in place, spending some of the campus budget on tree planting and education, organizing an Arbor Day celebration, and engaging students in tree-related projects and initiatives. Are you interested in finding out how you can get involved? Visit www.arborday.org/TreeCampusUSA.
Tree Campus USA is an Arbor Day Foundation program sponsored in partnership with Toyota. Are you currently looking for a part-time professional career, but you are just not sure what to do or where to go to make a great part-time living? Well, if you live in the Durham, Ontario region, then Durham Ways Bus Lines is the absolute professional career just for you. We offer complete comprehensive training, an excellent starting salary, and ongoing support in your choice to be a professional school, corporate, or charter transportation specialist. With flexible hours and many great benefits, Durham Ways Bus Lines is that perfect part-time career for retirees, housewives, or anyone looking to make great extra money with a professional and reputable company. Why not call us today at 905-433-1392 or visit our website at www.durhamwaybuslines.ca. At Durham Ways Bus Lines, we are the safe way. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send us your questions by email. Email us right now. Our studio email address is instudio101@gmail.com. I think it's nothing at all. And now, right back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everyone. We're back. We are talking October tips and do's and don'ts with my guest, Matt Dressing, our local horticulturalist, answering your questions about lawn and garden and everything in between. So I want to talk a little bit about, we've talked a lot about lawns, and I know I'm sure we're still going to get a question or two, or I'll think of something about lawns, but there are still things to do in the garden. Isn't there?
Yes.
because people think, oh, it's too, is it, because I get that often. Is it too late to plant trees? Is it too late to plant perennials? Is it too late to put in a garden now? And it's not.
No. Right now is a perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that you can be doing. As far as, is it too late to plant? That's one of the number one questions I get.
Yeah.
Almost on a daily basis at the garden center. And no, as long as you can get into the ground, basically. I mean, I've planted trees in January.
Yeah.
Because you can get it into the ground, and they're fine as long as they're over winter and they don't blow over.
Because they've kind of gone, they're dormant anyway
at that
point.
Dormant by that time,
yeah.
Right. So they're all shut down and ready to go.
So whether they're in a pot or in the hole in the ground at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's better if you've got something in a pot and you're worried, oh, do I plant it? Is it too late? Maybe I'll just keep it in the pot, protected. Keep it in the pot, especially if you're not quite sure. You know, you found a great deal somewhere and you want it, but you don't know where you're going to put it. Just make sure that you do bury the pot. It is best that, you know, the plants have adapted to freeze from the top down and, you know, freeze and thaw that way. Instead of being in a pot, you get the whole root ball exposed to these elements. So just bury the pot temporarily and then pop her out in the winter and go find a new spot for her.
Okay. I know I have, because I tend to put in my outdoor containers, I tend to put shrubs and perennials.
Yes.
So I still have my, you know, summer, I guess you technically called summer arrangements out there. I do have some mums and pumpkins and stuff on my steps, but my thing that's holding me up is I don't have a spot in my garden for these plants, but I can just put them anywhere just for the winter as far as a holding spot.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. You could even do, if you really didn't have any spot, they were planted, but you still wanted to keep them. You could put them in your garage.
Really?
In the front of your garage.
Okay.
The back kits get very, very cold.
Okay.
And can be damaging depending on how cold it gets. But yeah, it's just you get more of a winter environment at the front of the door. You get a little bit more sunlight.
Yeah, because I'm south facing, so I get that would be okay.
Right. Yeah. Little more tempered. That freeze thaw doesn't really affect them as much. And they'll overwinter fairly well.
That's something to test anyway. I love testing things.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had people who have said the purple fountain grass here is an annual.
Yes.
And they will often bring their large ones in and keep them in the garage, cut them back.
Okay.
And they have fairly good success at bringing them
I got a text message from a friend who's listening. I don't know why. I just texted him back. So why don't you write in? But
yeah.
He wants to know. He needs. Well, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on, let me get it verbatim here.
Okay.
He wants to know.
Being put on the spot.
Yeah, no. is it safe to prune any trees or branches right now if he's got some small foliage that needs to be cut?
Excellent question.
That is a good question.
Yes. Maybe.
Yeah.
No. Who is who are we talking to?
A friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
Jerry. Yeah, and the point is... I guess what he meant, because he talked to me about this earlier in the week about something, but he doesn't mean lopping off big branches. He means, you know, almost like using a what do you call it, those?
Pruning shears
to cut some thin branches and leave, you know, stuff like that. Is that a safe time?
Yeah.
Right.
You go ahead. Oh, no, okay. You go ahead.
Yeah, Jerry, it depends on what it is. You don't want to do any major pruning right now. Like, you don't want to go out and shape your boxwood hedge. If you have some dead things, just... like dead or even some summer deadheading to do, some, you know, your summer or your fall flowers have died, you can chop those off. You just want to take a few inches off. Yes. If you have, for example, a large boxwood and, you know, two or three sprigs kind of grow, give a nice burst of growth, you can pick those off. But you don't want to do any big major pruning, just dead things, diseased things. Yeah, you don't want to go...
And things
far.
Like, especially if they're spring blooming.
Right.
Right?
Especially like lilacs, rhododendrons, things like that. These are shrubs that are going to set their spring flowers now.
Right.
They're actually there hiding on the branch. So if you cut too heavy, especially if they're spring flowering, yeah, you're going to remove next year's show.
Okay.
Yeah.
But some of the woody things, like I think of potentilla, it's pretty woody, like
spireas. Yeah. Spireas, potentillas. I mean, you can dogwoods, you can hack some of those.
Okay. So some of those are okay.
And you're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're wondering if Gary's left us here, Jerry's thinking about trees. So we shouldn't, now is not a good time to cut.
I'm with you.
Are you with us? Do you know if Jerry was thinking about large trees or mid-sized trees? Or
He
didn't say.
No.
Okay. So trees probably aren't a good time right now either. Because the thing to remember, Jerry, is that pruning actually encourages growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want to encourage growth as winter's approaching.
So what was the answer? I mean...
You weren't listening, but Jerry was, hopefully.
Yeah.
So the answer is generally no. It really depends on what he's wanting to prune. So I don't know if he's texted you specifically what the plant is. But after the winter, like after the ground is frozen and the trees are definitely dormant, it is then okay to prune.
Right. That's where you can go in and remove some limbs, evergreens, maples, fruit trees, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So timing is kind of everything, Jerry.
Okay, thank you.
We hope that helps.
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. You were saying about the ornamental, bringing purple fountain grass in. That is an interesting tip because I know a lot of people love that one. And the fact that it's an annual here, it's a heartache. So, but our ornamental grasses that stay in the garden, I like leaving them up.
Yeah, I always say leave them up.
Beautiful. They're beautiful. The birds do eat. I've seen the goldfinches come and eat off of my Carl Forster. Definitely. I know I did a cleanup last week for a client, though, whose zebra grass, the clump is really big and really tall. And she's kind of out in the country. And she said that once the snow comes, it just looks terrible. And then it makes it, because it's all flattened, it's way harder to deal with in the spring.
Right.
So she had me trim it down. So it was heartbreaking. You can see the picture on Instagram of us trimming that down. So that was kind of an exception. And it wasn't an area of her yard that she couldn't really see from the house.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's our exceptions. If it needs, if it's, you know, I have them between my neighbor, between our driveways. And we do leave them up, but I can see it dense definitely because that's where snow goes too. So right. It can be tricky.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
But lots of benefits to keeping them up and then taking them down in the spring.
Yep.
And other things like echinacea, I know mine have all kind of gone brown, gone black, but there's still seeds in there, right?
But there's seeds in there, yeah.
I know, and I so want to trim them, but keep them up. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to keep them up. Also because I have had a habit of losing them. For some reason, I have clients who have no problem growing their black or their echinacea, their purple coneflower. And mine don't come back. And I think it's because I cut them down because I hate the blackheads. I cut them down in the fall and then maybe weed them out in the spring because they're hard to tell, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, one of our other guests that was on the show said that's a common problem.
Yes.
You know, for people who say they can't grow that easy perennial like me. So, yeah. So what are there some things that you should do in your garden right now?
You can be moving. We've talked about planting perennials, but we could be moving perennials as they start to go to sleep. We can dig them up and move them. If you do want to move them, just make sure you're taking a big enough root ball.
Right.
They're going to have the fibrous root system if they do. They're going to be their main source of food or the young ones, little roots that you can't see.
Right.
So taking a good, nice big root ball like that.
Hostas. I think that's a good time. That's a hostas. Good time of year to do hostas,
yep,
right?
You can because do hostas right now.
I find if we wait sometimes in the spring when they've leafed out too much, then they're leggy and they're leggy for the rest of the season.
Yes.
Don't you find that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So you get this weird looking clump.
Yeah. So now is a great time if they're really full. Even though they've probably yellowed because the frost has hit them.
Yep.
It's still totally fine to dig them up and divide them. Take a nice sharp knife or sharp shovel.
Right.
And divide them into a few pieces and share them with friends,
share
right?
The wealth.
That's right. That's right. I'm trying to think of some other things for fall color early winter bloom. Something I just added to my garden last year was hellebores. Where am I? Am I losing you?
There you are.
hellebores that bloom kind of February, March, April.
Right. Yep. Nice bloomers. They'll bloom right through the snow. They'll come up.
Yeah, it seems shocking.
It is. And there are some nice late winter bulbs as well that you can plant that'll come up as long as the snow isn't completely buried. But there are a few alpine irises and other small things that'll come right through the snow.
That we can plant now?
Yep.
Okay, we can plant now for early. For very early. I know it's a good time to plant spring bulbs, the daffodils. I tend to be a daffodil or allium promoter.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much with the tulips, even though it seems, you know, like a Canadian tradition to plant tulips. But
yes,
it's a losing battle.
And do you have the new Canadian?
I don't.
Anniversary tulip?
Yes. I hear that's a big one.
Yes.
Yes. Is that a popular seller?
That was the first bulb we sold out of. We've barely sold any of the other bulbs because of that one.
Really?
Yeah.
So the tulips were going to be, or the squirrels are going to be full of Canada tulips this winter. Oh, my goodness. I know there's things you can do, blood meal, you know, different things, but what do you think?
Yeah, blood meal tends to be the old-fashioned standby to go to for sure.
Right.
It's probably the easiest to do, just sprinkle the blood meal out, keep it. It's high in nitrogen, so it'll feed the bulbs eventually as the spring comes. I find when you plant the bulb, in 2 to 3 inch lifts as you re-put the soil or put the soil back in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
If you just firm it around the edges of the hole, so you don't want to press down on the tip of the bulb, if you imagine just that kind of classic teardrop shaped bulb.
Right.
You don't want to damage that little tip or that growing tip. But if you compact slowly as you go in 3 inch lifts, which usually is only two layers, you can make it a little harder for the squirrels or the chipmunks to dig down because the soil is a little more compact, but the tulip will fight its way through.
Right.
The other thing is to put down chicken wire, but that can be costly and
tedious.
And difficult and tedious to do it every year. And then,
What about wetting them as soon as watering them in? Does that, having it like a wet, muddy ground, does that deter the squirrels a little bit?
That would probably deter the squirrels quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. They don't like to dig in that mud.
Yeah. But, I mean, if all else fails, if you do have a lot of squirrels in your area, then really allium bulbs, which are in the onion family, squirrels don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
Daffodils are actually poisonous, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah, to squirrels. And I find that the benefit for me on the daffodils is their foliage is thinner. So
yes.
I find, because that's the other issue with tulips, right, is in the spring, waiting for them, late spring, or early summer, waiting for the foliage to die down can be, you know, a little eyesore in your garden.
Yeah.
You know, so having the daffodils, their leaves tend to be a little thinner and a little quicker to kind of dissipate.
To feed back and go again, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And alliums, you never really even see them, I find, because the heads kind of pop up and the leaves, pretty, if you plant them between your plants and stuff, right?
Right.
You know, I don't really see the
foliage. They tend to be so low growing and arching that they kind of hide underneath other things.
Yeah.
You just have these towers.
Yeah, for sure. I know time is flying and we've covered a lot. What else?
I guess just quickly.
Yes.
If you haven't already, the nights are getting cool. Don't forget to bring in any of your tropicals that you want to bring in.
Good point.
Tropical winters, if it's been out in the summer already or most of the summer, usually is around that 14 to 16 degree mark.
So the hibiscus, tropical hibiscus, get them in.
Your hibiscuses, your jasmines, your cordylins, your all sorts of things. Yep, bring them those in.
Any quick tips on the insects that they're bringing in with them and how to deal with those?
Yeah, there are about 8 common ones. So just a general insecticide.
Okay.
We'll usually do it.
Okay.
We'll get rid of them. But don't forget to check the bottom of your pot. Things like pill bugs and centipedes like to crawl under the damp pot against the cement and burrow into the little holes.
Okay.
If you've had some drying, of course, because we've had such a dry winter, if you have your soils pulled away from the edge of the pot, some of them will hide down in there as well.
Okay. Yes. So could you pull the plant out of the pot and kind of do a rinse of the soil?
Yep. You could do the rinse of the soil, spray it around. I wouldn't spray it directly on the roots, but you know, usually when you pull it out, they'll skitter away or you can see them and brush them off.
Okay.
Another old way is you flood them, put them in the bathtub and flood them and drown them out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And something for the foliage, I've heard of putting a bag, like putting a clear garbage bag around the foliage and then spraying into the bag to kind of...
Yeah, it just kind of over-concentrates it and keeps it there. Most of the insecticides that we sell are all contacts, so you do have to shoot to kill and wet them.
Okay.
So the vapor...
Okay, so that was probably like the old school stuff.
Yeah. It kind of does it. And then lastly, if you haven't, don't forget your cannas and callas and gladiolas.
Mm-hmm.
They're all tropical as well. They're not going to be winter hardy. They'll turn to mush. So now it's time to start digging them up, washing them off, cut back any of the green leaves if you haven't.
Okay.
Wash them off, let them air dry, and then just put them in a nice, cool, dry location for the winter.
Okay. Now, if they've gotten really big, like the cannas, I'm thinking, is now the time to divide them or you wait till the spring?
I usually wait till the spring.
Okay. So now we're just letting them rest.
Right. I'll divide them again with a nice sharp knife. Make sure there's 2 or 3 eyes on them.
Okay.
Plant them up in early March or late March. Let them get going in a sunny window.
Okay.
Put them out.
Now, sometimes I think people think they should wait because right now they're still looking good, the cannas I've seen out. And I was at some clients this past weekend, too, and they were still looking good. So do you wait for, like, the frost to get the foliage or should you just get out there?
You can. Yeah, you can wait for the foliage to go. A nice heavy frost that'll damage the foliage won't really hurt your bulb underneath.
Okay.
It may just become more of a human discomfort. It's
right.
Now freezing cold and why do I want to dig? I'll just buy new ones.
Right. Right. True. If you were like not cold friendly, then you want to do it now.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to want to do it with gloves on and a scarf on in 3 weeks. Right.
Nice wind.
That's right. So thank you to everyone who's listening tonight. We covered a lot of material and there's more on my website. I've got a kind of a summary at downtoearth.ca with number 2. And once again, you know, you can follow me there if you have any other questions, all my social media links. And thank you to Matt for joining me tonight. And we want to thank you for joining me down the garden path here on Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.